As we just sang, we do believe that you are faithful. And forgive us, Lord, when we have forgotten that. Forgive us, Lord, when we not only have forgotten that, but we tried to take matters into our own hands, trusting in our own ability to provide for ourselves, when all the time it is you who provides and sustains and redeems and blesses. Bless us now as we listen to you from your word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Epicurus, who was an ancient Greek philosopher, once said this. He says, "It is folly for a man to pray to the gods for that which he has the power to obtain by himself." Now, while Epicurus was a pagan, unfortunately, many of us Christians follow Epicurus's advice. That the things in our life that we think we can obtain by ourselves, we don't pray about that. Because we got those things covered. We got those things under control. At least we think we do. And then the things in our life that we don't have covered, the things in our life that we can't obtain by ourselves, the things in life that we don't think that we're in control of, those are the things we pray about. Some people refer to this as God of the gaps. That in our modern day, 21st century, Western world, there are certain things that we can do with our industry and technology and with our hard work and effort and ingenuity and innovation. We can take care of a lot of stuff and we can do a lot of things. And so those things, we got those things covered. But there are a few gaps. There are certain diseases that we don't know how to cure. There are certain terrorist attacks that we can't prepare for completely. There are weather tragedies that we can't always predict. There are some gaps. And so in those gaps, that's where we need God. And so if any one of those things affects us or our family, that's when we really pray. And we pray fervently because we can't control those things. And so we need God. But the other things, we can take care of those with our technology or with our healthcare. We can take care of those things with our free market economy. We can take care of those things with our government. And so we really don't need to pray about that. We don't need to pray to God about that. In the 1960s, there was a movie that came out called Shenandoah. It starred Jimmy Stewart. He played a man named Charlie Anderson. Had a family, lived in Virginia. He was a farmer, had a nice farm there in Virginia. It was the time of the Civil War. And even though he had six sons, he didn't allow any of his sons to participate in the war because he was anti-war and he was anti-government. He believed that every person should earn whatever it is that they have. He believed in self-sufficiency. He was kind of had that true American perspective, if you will. And there's a little clip from this movie that I want to show you. It's a clip where Anderson is gathered with his family, and they've gathered around a table, and there's food there on the table, and he's leading the family in prayer. And I want you to watch this clip real quick.
Lord, we cleared this land. We plowed it, sowed it, and harvested. We cooked the harvest. It wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be eating it if we hadn't done it all ourselves. We worked dog bone hard for every crumb and morsel, but we thank you just the same anyway, Lord, for this food we're about to eat. Amen.
I hope your Thanksgiving prayers don't go like that. It's supposed to be a prayer of Thanksgiving, but that is not what it is. He says, God, we did this. We sowed the fields, we watered it, we worked it, and we harvested it. We did it all ourselves, he says. Oh, and by the way, thanks anyways. And I share that with us because often, as affluent Americans who live in the 21st century, that's sometimes the way we can think. That we look at several things and areas in our life and we say, we did it. With our hard work, with our effort, with our ingenuity, with our innovation, with our creativity, we did it. We accomplished it. Oh, and thanks God anyways. And then we come to the next phrase in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about the Lord's Prayer. And we've been looking at selected phrases in this prayer and how these phrases mentor us into the art of saying grace, into the art of prayer. First week, we talked about our Father who art in heaven and how that phrase mentors us in the relationship that we have with God. He's our Father, and we are His children. Last week, Kent Smith and I co-preached, and we looked at the next three phrases in the prayer where it says, Hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we noticed that those three phrases are God-centered phrases. They're all about God. And those phrases mentor us in our prayer to come to God, not with our own will and not with our own desire, but with an attitude of surrender to say to God, God, it's about You and it's about Your will being done. And now we come to the fourth phrase, or at least the next phrase in the Lord's Prayer. And if you notice in the prayer at this point, there's a shift, transition, that the first three phrases that we looked at last week, they're all God-centered, but the next three phrases are about human concerns. And you can see the shift in the use of the pronoun. The last three phrases, the pronoun that is used is Your. Hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But the next three phrases, the pronoun that is used is us. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Us. And the very first human concern that is requested in this prayer is something that is so simple, so basic. It's just some necessity, some basic need that we need. Bread. Daily bread. I like the way one person put it. Said, regardless of our intelligence, of our beauty, of our usefulness, our righteousness, and the preciousness of our eternal souls, we all need bread. Everyone does. Everyone needs bread. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how old you are, every one of us needs bread. It's a part of living. It's a part of sustaining life, is we have to have nourishment every single day. And God cares about that. God cares about your physical body. God cares about you receiving the nourishment that you need. And so Jesus offers this request, give us this day our daily bread. But as I mentioned earlier, I think it's possible for us to see this phrase in the Lord's Prayer and kind of think that it doesn't apply. And kind of think, you know, there's kind of a disconnect here with this phrase and us in the 21st century, because we got this taken care of. We got this part of our life taken care of. This past week, I was kind of reflecting on this phrase and on this the whole situation of how a lot of times we think we have things taken care of. And something convicted me, something hit me. And maybe you're in the same boat as me. As I was thinking through the Lord's Prayer, I started to ask myself, when was the last time I prayed this phrase? Give us this day our daily bread. I mean, there have been occasions where I have referred to God as Father, our Father who art in heaven. There have been occasions where I have prayed to God and said, Your will be done. It's not about my will, it's about Your will. Maybe I haven't prayed those things as often as I should. But when was the last time that we truly prayed, not just reciting it as a memory verse, but truly prayed, give us this day our daily bread? I couldn't think of a time. And I think the reason why is because in my mind, I think I got it taken care of. I got money in my billfold. There's a grocery store down the street. Loaf of bread costs about $2. I can go down there and I can get a loaf of bread anytime I want. I got this taken care of, God. Don't worry about it. I'll ask You about other more important things. And it's easy for us to think that as Americans, we just need to skip over this phrase, because maybe back in the ancient world, there were occasions where getting daily bread was a hard thing to do. But now, because of our free market economy, because we have great access to bread available to us all the time, this phrase doesn't really apply to us. Let's just skip on to the next one, because we got this taken care of. But then as I reflected more on this phrase, it occurred to me that maybe this phrase, the phrase we think doesn't even apply to 21st century Americans, maybe this phrase is the phrase of all phrases that we need to be praying more than any other. Because as we begin to pray this phrase, it begins to shape us and mentor us. And one way it begins to shape us is that it puts us in the position of being a receiver. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And certainly that is true. And we need to grow every day at learning the attitude and heart of generosity, of being able to give and share with others. But there is at times a certain power that comes from being able to give. Because after all, if you're a giver, it means you have plenty of resources. You have plenty. It means you have an abundance. It means you've got more than you can use for yourself. And so you're going to take some of that plenty, you're going to shave off a little portion of that, and you're going to give. And so there's kind of power that comes from being able to give to others. Whereas on the flip side, if you're the receiver, it's just the opposite. You're receiving because, not because you have plenty, because you lack. You're receiving not because you have an abundance, but because you're in want. You're receiving not because you have plenty of resources. You're receiving because you can't make it through the month on your own. And church, that's humbling. It's humbling to realize you can't provide for yourself and you need someone to give to you. That's a humbling thing. And you can't understand that unless you've been there. It's humbling to come to a food bank to get your food. We're going to give out these bags and turkeys to over 500 families on Tuesday. And it's going to be a humbling thing for those families to come and get that. Now, we try to make it as dignified of a process as we can. We try to treat people as neighbors. We ask them to contribute a little money to it so that they can feel some dignity in the process. But it is a humbling thing. It's humbling to file for unemployment. It's humbling to have to use food stamps. It's humbling to have to ask help from other people. That's a humbling thing. And what's so powerful about this phrase is that when Jesus says that we are to pray, give us this day our daily bread, he is saying that every one of us is to be in the position of a receiver. That whether you're a wage earner or a welfare recipient, we all are to come to God and say, give us this day our daily bread. And what that shapes us into thinking and being and doing is understanding that everything we have, from our house to our car to the food in our pantries, everything we have, it comes from God. Amen. It's a gift from God. And the way we live and the way we are sustained every day in life, the way that we exist, it's not through our hard work. It's not through our sparkling education and hard-earned degrees. It's not through our good experience and work skills. The way we are sustained every day is through the grace and gift of God. And we trust in him. We rely on him. We rely on God for our daily needs more than our insurance policies, more than the money we have in our bank, more than our 401ks, more than the extra things that we have in our house. We rely on God to give us what we need. He puts us in the position of a receiver. But then secondly, this prayer, this phrase shapes us in emphasizing daily needs, daily needs. Give us this day our daily needs. What's so interesting about food is you can only eat enough food for that day. Did you know that? You can't say, you know what, I've got a busy day tomorrow, got a lot of meetings, a lot of things I've got to do. I'm going to eat a huge lunch today so that tomorrow I don't have to eat. Now, maybe you've eaten enough for tomorrow at times, but that's not the way it works. We can eat a huge lunch, but we're going to burn off that energy, or we're going to store that food somewhere, and the next day, we're going to be hungry again, right? It's the same way with oxygen. You can't breathe a whole lot in one day and say, I'm just going to breathe a whole lot today, and then tomorrow I won't have to breathe. No, it's not the way it works. We have a daily need. A daily need. Daily need for food, daily need for oxygen. And Jesus reminds us of that daily need. And it's need is the critical word, need. Jesus does not say, give me this day my swimming pool, or give me this day that luxury vacation. He says, give me this day our daily bread. That at the end of the day, what is it that I really need to survive? Bread, food, clothes on your back, shelter over your head. That's it. Daily need. I like the way the writer puts it in Proverbs 30 verses 8 and 9. He says, give me neither poverty nor wealth. Because if I'm wealthy, then I might forget you and say, who is the Lord? If I have poverty, I may steal and profane your name. Instead, feed me with the food that is my portion. I like that. Feed me with the food that is my portion. I don't need a double portion, God. I don't need a triple portion. Just give me my portion. Just give me my daily need. And in a society that is constantly telling us we need more, 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 I think we need to hear that. I like the way one blogger put it, said, you know, we don't need to worry about keeping Christ in Christmas. We need to worry about keeping Christ in Black Friday. And I think he had a point. Amen. That we can follow materialism. Someone else said in America, we don't pray, give us this day our daily bread. We say, Lord, give us the self-control to not eat too much. We have so much stuff. And it's so easy to run after more and more things and try to keep up with the neighbors, try to keep up with what's going on. And Jesus slows us down and says, hang on a second. Simple and contented life is all we need. Feed me with my portion. Give me my daily bread. That's all I need. That's all I need. Just give me what I need. But then third, this prayer shapes us in having a concern for others. What is so powerful to me about this phrase is that it's not give me. I said give me just earlier, but it's not give me this day our daily bread. That would be the individualistic way of praying this phrase. It'd be give me food, give me money, give me clothes, give me this, that, and the other. But instead Jesus says, give us. Give us. Give us this day our daily bread. That there is to be a concern that we have for others as we pray this phrase. And I think this is where this phrase becomes incredibly convicting to me. Because how can you pray this phrase when you know there are people in this world who can't get daily bread? How do you pray this phrase when you know there are orphans in West Africa who are struggling to survive? How can you pray this phrase when you know there are orphans in Ukraine and refugees in the Middle East and people all over the world who are in much impoverished situations than I am, who are struggling to find that daily bread? How can I pray this phrase? How can I pray when I know there's people in our own neighborhood within a couple miles of where we're sitting right now who are concerned about how they're going to find food today? How can I pray this phrase? One writer said, this phrase needs to stick in the throat of every full Christian. I think he's right. It drives us to our knees to know that we have so much and so plenty, and I can run to the grocery store and get a loaf of bread immediately when there's others that can't do it. How do we pray this phrase? And we're not going to be able to fix the hunger problem in the world. We're not going to be able to fix poverty. As long as there's sin in the world, as long as there are selfish people and laziness and people making bad decisions and materialistic people in the world, we're going to have wealth and poor. But I think one thing this phrase does call us to is to turn outward and to care. And I think it's so fitting. I'm talking about this phrase in the midst of all of these groceries that are going to be passed out to over 500 families. Because what it tells me is you care. You care. You care about your neighbors. And we should care. We should care about those orphans in West Africa. We should care about those refugees in the Middle East, the orphans in Ukraine, and people in our neighborhood. This past week, there was someone who called our church office. It was a lady who was homebound. Someone who had been taking care of her was calling about her. And he called because it said she didn't have heat. Her heater had broken. She didn't have heat, and it was so cold that she couldn't get out of her bed to take a shower. And she was wanting some heat. And she said, on top of that, she didn't have food. She was unable to get out of the house and come to our food pantry to get food. And so she was lacking in food. We should care about that, right? Amen. We should care. And I think this phrase mentors us into saying it's not just about you, and it's not just about your family, and it's not just about your needs. It's about us. It's about neighbors. It's about the city. It's about the world. Give us this day our daily bread. I want to issue a challenge this week. Over the past couple weeks, I've challenged you on Monday mornings at 7 o'clock to spend time in prayer, to come up here at the building if you can. And we've had groups come up here the past 2 weeks. And I encourage you to come do that with us tomorrow morning if you can. We'll be here Monday, 7 a.m., praying to the Lord. If you can't do that, pray wherever you are at that time, knowing that your church family is praying at the same time. But I want to tack on an extra challenge to that this week. For the next 7 days, as you begin your day, I want you to pray, give us this day our daily bread. As I was thinking about this, I started to do that for the past few days. And I have to tell you, the first day that I prayed this phrase, I had this mental wrestling match going on in my mind saying, Steve, you don't need to pray this prayer because you know what you're going to eat for lunch and you know where you're going to get your food for dinner. Why are you praying this prayer? You got it taken care of. Amen. But as I've begun to pray this prayer over and over again, it has shaped me. And as one person said, if you pray this prayer, it's going to cause you to say three things. Number one, it's going to cause you to say thank you. It's going to remind you that everything we have, the food that we eat for lunch, the food that we have for dinner, the clothes that we wear, everything we have, it is from God. And so thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, God. Number two, it's going to cause us to say I'm sorry. As we remind ourselves that all we really need on a daily basis is just bread. We can survive on bread, and that's our daily need as we remember what needs really are and how we can so often say luxuries are really needs, but they really aren't needs. It's going to cause us to say, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry for running after the excess. And then third, it's going to cause us to say, show us what to do. As we think about our neighbors, as we think about the world, as we think outwardly about giving us daily bread, it's going to say, Lord, show us what to do. Show us how we can be a part of your work in this world. I want to challenge you to do that, to say that prayer for the next 7 days, because I really believe, you might think, no, we don't need to pray this prayer. We got this one covered. But I think this phrase, above all phrases, is the phrase that we need to be praying regularly more than anything else. Why? Because we live in a society that tells us we've got it covered. We can take care of it. We can do it. Look what we've provided for ourselves. And it's this phrase that reminds us over and over again, no, it is from the hand of God you have what you have. It is from the hand of God that you have received gifts. It is from the hand of God that you have been given daily bread, and so share that with others. And in a world that breeds selfishness and pride and materialism, it's this phrase that breeds humility and contentment and a willingness to share. This week in America is our holiday that we call Thanksgiving. And according to tradition, the way this holiday began was back in 1623 when the Pilgrims were in Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts, and they had been there for a couple of years, but they had had some hard winters, and they didn't all make it through those. But that year, they had had a really good harvest. They had an abundance of potatoes and squash and peas and all kinds of good things. And so the governor, Governor Bradford, issued a proclamation. He said, this Thursday, I want us all to go to the meeting house from 9 to 12 and listen to the preacher. I like Governor Bradford. We need to reinstitute that proclamation. 9 to 12, be in the meeting house, listen to the preacher, and pray. Pray to God and tell him thanks for all that he has given. And the whole point was to acknowledge that what we have is not from ourselves. What we have is from God. Let's pray. Almighty God, you are our Father. And thank you for letting us be your children. Lord, we do want your name to be known throughout the whole world and to be exalted. We want your reign to come, your reign full of joy and peace and forgiveness and new life. We want it to come, Lord. We want your will to be done. We want what you want to happen in our life, not what we want. And Lord, we do pray, give us this day our daily bread. Teach us, Lord. Teach us, Lord, to realize that all we have is from you. Teach us, Lord, to be content with just our portion. Teach us, Lord, to share, to give to others as we can, to help others in their time of need. Lord, help us to realize and acknowledge it's not through our ingenuity, hard work, and effort that we survive. Instead, it is in you that we have life and that we have meaning and that we live. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to have our time of invitation, and if you're ready to come to a God who not only cares about your physical nourishment but cares about your spiritual soul, wants to give you forgiveness of sins, you can come at this time. We're going to sing a song in just a second. You can come to the front, repent of your sins, be baptized into Christ. Your sins will be washed away. God's Spirit placed inside of you, you'll be added to the church. And if you're ready to do that, when we sing, just come to the front. But I want to encourage others of us. Maybe some words that I said tinged your heart. God's Spirit maybe was tugging at you a little bit in something that I said. Don't pass that by. Maybe God's trying to say something to you. And maybe during this invitation song, you might need to walk to one of our elders and just say, pray for me, because I've been the selfish one, or I've been the one who thought I could take care of it and be in control. And maybe you need to let your shepherd pray over you. Give us this day our daily bread. If there's any way we can help you to turn to the Lord, come now as we stand and sing. Let's sing at this time.